Right, this is Carl Munson with a special report. I'm talking to Tom Evans, and as you know, this is part of our 2012 transformation countdown. And part of the, or one of the threads that people are aware of in 2012, the whole everything ranging from the Mayan apocalyptic prophecies to, well, the Olympic Games, among the, some of the things that are happening on the planet in this particular year on our calendar, is the idea that the planet might ascend. And that's the theme of tonight's show, ascension, and whether the planet may ascend or transform in that way, or whether humankind ascends. And Tom Evans, my guest tonight, who's going to be talking to us for a little while now, knows a lot about this and has an unusual take on it, which of course you won't be surprised by if you've ever heard any of the conversations I've had with Tom before. Hi there, Tom, how are you?
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, depending on where people are listening to this.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely.
And I'm great. Thank you, Carl.
Happy New Year to you in this very special 2012 year. I mean, but maybe we should start, Tom, by your unique view on the whole 2012 thing in the very first place. What do you think is going to happen on the 21st of December, 2012?
Well, I'm thinking not a lot, really. I think that we'll just sort of wake up and on the 22nd, it'll be very much like the next day. Pretty much as all that, you know, I can't remember the guy's name that was talking about the rapture last year, and he had two goes. He had two goes at the dates, didn't he? And basically, not a lot happened.
Yeah.
And that's because you know, when people talk about things like planetary alignment and how the plane of the solar system is going through the galactic center and stuff like that, it kind of doesn't time down to a day. You know, it's a period really, and I think the period is probably a good couple of hundred years.
Yeah,
and it started, you know, maybe when we got into the out of the Industrial Revolution into the Technical Revolution, and now we're into the Knowledge Revolution. So I think it's a general awakening of humanity, which has got a 200-year window, and it could well be that the 21st of December is somewhere around the middle of it. So don't expect that. I mean, get all your Christmas presents and plan for next year. Go out to the January sales and buy Christmas wrapping cheaper if that's your thing, because I think you'll still be using it.
Good. Well, that'll be very reassuring for a lot of people, and I totally agree with you. I mean, it's about a period, isn't it, in human history rather than a specific date. And obviously, the human mind wants a specific date, so it knows whether it can go out Christmas shopping or not. But I think we've established there that we are in a period of transformation, possibly. Now we can possibly turn our attention to this whole idea of ascension. An ascended people or ascended masters. Some people might have heard that phrase, ascended masters, or more jokingly, as I heard it referred to recently, as arse-ended masters, from somebody who is less than favourable to the idea. What do you think is generally meant, you know, in general terms, by the phrase ascension and these people who are ascended masters who are here supposedly to help us?
Well, I think you've got to understand. I don't know how much mythology we want to get into, how much religion we want to get into, and how much reality we want to get into. But I think that people have always been able to ascend, and it appears to me that there seems to be a continuum of consciousness, if you like, starting from, let's say, on our planet, things like the amoeba, going up to cetaceans, whales, and dolphins, our good selves, that are fairly intelligent beings. And I think there are levels beyond us as well that we can't see, that are outside these three space and time dimensions. And there's and I think, from what I understand, there's a hierarchy. So when you sort of leave this mortal coil, one of the options is you can get up to ascended master status, and that's if you're not going through this cycle of death and rebirth in that kind of idea of reincarnation. And then once you've done ascended master for a while, then you can go up to the rank of the angels and then the rank of the archangels and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, those sort of ranks, if you like, they're very human if you think about them, aren't they? So, and we haven't got any proof that they exist or not. And it's almost like putting sort of human characteristics on this realm that we know nothing about. So it's pretty much speculation as to any realms above ascended masters, but it does appear, because there seems to be enough people on the planet that seem to communicate with them, that there is that sort of level of being, if you like, above us, but you might also say below us.
Okay.
And I've always thought that take Jesus Christ, for example, we can talk, we can use that term. Jesus, this carpenter's son Jesus, wasn't born as Jesus. He kind of gained Christ consciousness and then kind of did his ascension thing. And anybody can get into the Christ consciousness. And we've always been able to go through that process of, if you like, not dying and just deciding on your moment of leaving this mortal coil and ascending, as opposed to having to go through the sort of death rebirth cycle. And it's in many of the traditions, in the Eastern traditions. It's kind of been cloaked in the Christian tradition, but in the Gnosis, in Gnostic Christians, they would adhere to this. But having said all of that, it's all speculation.
Okay, yes, excellent. All right. And when we're talking about masters, we're talking about master consciousness, as you've suggested there, as in mastery possibly of this plane. And so a very human hope would obviously be to escape the slings and arrows of normal mortal human life and ascend to this level. And some people, I guess, are hoping for that in this year of 2012. There's a collective ascension as well, though, isn't there, where maybe a whole bandwidth of people will shift up an octave or two in consciousness and will be viewing life from a different level. Would you concur with that too?
I would, but I mean, everything seems to be very people-centric. You know,
True.
we have to understand that there's something like 20,000 billion tons of biomass on the planet, and out of that, 100 million tons of it is humanity. So try and get that in perspective. If you take all the rock and all the water away and the air away, and you've just got the living stuff in a sphere, the sphere is something like the diameter of Greater London. A small moon it would be. And then
Right.
if you look at the humanity bit of that, it's a sphere about the size of St. Paul's.
Good
So
heavens. That puts it into perspective, doesn't
good heavens indeed. So
it?
if there is going to be an ascension at a planetary level, then it can't just be about humanity. Although we as let's say the self-aware component of the biomass, then we might have a bit of a sway in it, if you like. But you know, the whales and the cetaceans, it's thought, also hold the Akashic field, as do the bees and the ants. So, and there's lots of them, right?
Now,
So
I need to ask you, you did mention Satish twice now. These aren't the followers of Satish Kumar, are they?
no, these are the whales and our lovely cousins that we think aren't as intelligent as us and might be more intelligent than us.
Forgive me for asking. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So if there is an ascension at all, then it's going to be the Lady Gaia, the Earth, us, and all biomass at the same time.
Yes, all right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. However, from previous conversations with you, you have your usual unique and fascinating view on these things, and you favour a descension rather than ascension. Am I right?
Well, kind of, but I think it's both. So if you were to think about it from looking at our point upwards, if the Cambrian upwards, because we're talking in terms of multi-dimensions, if you like, then we might couch it as an ascension. But from a spiritual perspective, from a spirit perspective, it's more like spirit descending and incarnating into matter for the first time through us. And there's a bit of a historical precedent for this, although there isn't much of a historical record. But we've got a clue in phrases like, "And then the Word was made flesh." And there was a time, and we can work this out by looking at things like rock art and general cultural artifacts. There was a time where humans were on the planet, and they looked like us. Their biology was very, very similar. But they didn't have self-awareness and they couldn't speak. And what happened over, again, not on a certain day, maybe 10,000, 20,000, 50,000 years ago, but over a period, we gained this internal chatter ability. And we also did something which is quite remarkable. We learned to control, put under conscious control one of our chakra points, which is our throat chakra. And what I'm doing now is taking some internal thoughts and controlling my throat chakra to talk to you over this fun, wonderful medium of Skype, which is great. But we didn't have that ability. And to get that ability, what happened? Spirit descended into us maybe 50,000 years ago. Another higher level of spirit descended into us, into our brains. And we went through this jump, if you like, from human version one to human version two.
Okay.
You with that? But
Yep.
from a human perspective, it might look like you ascend to another level. But from a spirit perspective, they're saying, well, we're descending into humanity and raising them up. So it's two things going on at the same time, if you like.
Wow, I love the idea of a Skype chakra as well.
And why not? And oh, by the way, on that note, I found out recently that I developed that ability to see past lives in people's auras. I found out about 2 or 3 months ago is that it's possible to do it over Skype as well, which doesn't make electronic sense at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. A fascinating aside there, which
Absolutely.
if you know, it's funny with these interviews, people hear certain things that stay in their minds, and I'm thinking that's going to be one of those things that stays in people's minds who listen to this, Tom. What's the best way for people who are intrigued by that to find out more about you?
Well, a couple of things. My author site where I do where my writings are is tomevans.co, but I'm just launching a new portal, and I'm using the word portal very specifically to refer to a web portal, but also a portal to another level of consciousness called recipesforfreshthinking.com, and I'll put that link underneath the audio, and that's all about this transition. All about this, what's happening this year, and it's not sort of wishy-washy woo-woo-la-la stuff. It's very practical stuff about what can we do, basically, to have a better life. And I think that's what it's about. Is that the ascension brigade, as you might call them, are thinking about we will ascend to the fourth or fifth dimension, and everything's going to be lovely and that sort of stuff. But in actual fact, this planet Earth is heaven. It's just that some people choose to make it hell. And what's going to happen, I think, over the next 100, 200 years is we're going to create a real heaven on Earth.
How absolutely wonderful. What a wonderful way of looking at that. And I'm tempted to stop the 2012 transformation countdown and just to play that little quote every week for the next however many weeks, 48 weeks it is, because that is such a fabulous proposition, isn't it? The idea that this is heaven. It's been there's been a smoke and mirror scenario put in the way of that, our view of this lovely place where we live, and there will be a clearing presently, whereby we can experience fully this heaven that we live in. Now, I guess the next question in that case is, how do we get that clearing to occur? How do we realize and know and experience and rejoice in the fact that this is heaven? Because that isn't everybody's everyday experience, is it? Let's be fair.
Yeah, and what I'm finding is that people that are stepping up to the plate are having all sorts of baggage that perhaps they've not dealt with over the last, for sort of their lifetime actually, and you could even argue lifetimes, that the stuff that needs to be dealt with is coming up and surfacing. I know lots of friends of mine are going through various transformations. Lots of clients of mine seem to be bringing up issues, and when you go back into it, these issues they haven't just come up in the last month or the last year. They've been around for all their lifetimes, and what I've been working on is some really simple techniques to clear these things out. And as you and I know, we went through one of these transformations last year with you,
Indeed.
where what we can do is to start to initiate this dissension process by taking out, letting soul parts that aren't useful anymore go back to the light, and then bring new components in. And funnily enough, that's the process that I've not only done now face to face, but I was referring to earlier, I've also done that over Skype with people. And what's interesting about this process is that nowhere on the web does it say I do this, yet people are finding me and saying I just know I need to talk to you, which is kind of interesting.
Which does suggest, in a funny sort of way, that there are other parts of us aware of other parts of our consciousness that, by some quirk of circumstance, bring Tom Evans into your immediate view and think you need to talk to him.
Exactly. And on that note, by the way, this is not a Tom Evans only skill, and I'm teaching other people to do this right as we speak, because this is a transferable skill, so.
This would be your cube of karma work, I take it.
It's part of the Cube of Karma work, yeah. So the Cube of Karma work is a lovely tool for working out where you come from up to now, and then going forward. And as part of that, we do some soul part extraction and reinstallation. And I guess it's one of the things, one of the terms we use for it is a software upgrade for the soul. And I like to think that it's this ability to go from human version 2 to human version 3, which is, of course, what we've got these fantastic brains, which are very plastic and can be rewired to give us new functionality. And the scientists have been saying for years they've no idea what 90% of the brain is for. And I think what we're doing now is finding applications for that other 90% of the brain.
Absolutely wonderful. And that is such a lovely way of looking at it, that it's a software upgrade for the human being. Because generally speaking, what we've done and what we've dealt with in spirituality and personal growth, personal development, human potential so far over the last few decades, I think, is made it very painful and hard work and quite dramatic. And, there'll be the flailing swan song of that last little bit I can't clear for my full self-realization to take place. And if we shift our sort of awareness away from thinking that we're broken or wrong or stuck into a simple matter of just upgrading, that would be a whole lot easier and arguably a whole lot more enjoyable too.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think in the past, what's had to happen for us to do the upgrades, we've had to go through the inconvenience of dying and coming back down the birth canal.
That's fairly inconvenient.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not terminal, but you've got to go through the process again. And other people have had things like near-death experiences, and while they've had the near-death experience, they've had a spirit walk in.
Yes.
And what I found now with the Cube of Karma work is that we can actually do this stuff. We get the same transformation, but in a non-traumatic way, which is actually fantastic. And as of last week, I think you know Jackie Walker, don't you?
Absolutely.
She's one of the first trained tour guides, and she's now taking other people around the cube, which is great.
Now,
So one of the big things,
the thing about Jackie Walker is she was on our last week program of the Transformation Countdown. We were talking about forgiveness, and Jackie was going to talk in principle, I think, and in theory about forgiveness. And she went into her own personal experience of how she'd forgiven a what would be seen by anybody's standards as a pretty grim occurrence in childhood, and how she got over that. And she's walking her talk, and I'm sure she'd be a fabulous tour guide.
Oh, absolutely. And but on, interesting enough as well, she's doing all this work over Skype too. So one of the great things about these tools is I love the way that we're combining sort of esoteric wisdom with modern day technology. And this means that when we're looking at planetary transformation, the ability to be able to deliver this virtually over this technology is nothing short of phenomenal. And it will also increase the speed of the transformation.
Absolutely wonderful. Okay, Tom, well, thank you very much for sharing that with us and your particular view. Can you just remind us again where to find out more about the things that we've been talking about?
Yeah, so you want to get in touch with me and my writings and that sort of stuff, go to tomevans.co. That's not .com or .co.uk, it's just .co. And also visit my new portal, recipesforfreshthinking.com.
All right, and as a parting shot, you might ask, if it's a 2012 countdown show, you could ask people, I could ask you, how would you help people prepare for that moment? We've already discussed the idea that it's not really going to be a moment, that we're working through a particular period in history. But what would you say would be a very useful skill, insight, or piece of knowledge to get familiar with in this incredible period rather than that particular moment in the calendar right now? What can people do to make the most of this fascinating journey towards heaven, as we've described before?
Okay, now I don't want to make this sound promotional, but the best advice I can give you is to get hold of this workbook and three visualizations that I've recorded called Voiding Karma.
Right.
And basically it's something that allows you to go into what's called neutral karma, and it gets rid of all the baggage that you need to lose, and it puts you into a neutral position so new stuff can arrive.
Fabulous. All right, and how do we do that? It's back to those websites?
It's back to Recipes to Fresh Think. I call it Step Zero Voiding Karma.
Right.
And it's step zero. In the clue to step zero, it implies there are other steps beyond that. But for some people, it's all they need to do right now. And I'd price it really low so everyone can afford it. And if someone really, really can't afford it, then get in touch with me, because I don't want cash to be a barrier to this. This is not about money at all. And I'm very happy to give everyone access to it at a suitable energy exchange.
All right. Well, I will see you on the way to heaven, however that should come my way. And I'm sure our paths will cross in the coming months, as well as Louisa, Jane Tanner and I continue our 2012 transformation countdown. But thank you. I knew you'd be a part of it, Tom, in this year, given all the wonderful conversations we have in the preceding year. And I look forward to touching base with you now and then on this incredible journey that we all seem to be finding ourselves on at the moment.
Fabulous. Thank you, Cole.
Take care now. Bye for now. Thank you.